Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us for another of the most scintillating hour in finance radio. And I'm pumped to be here. You know, I'm going to be transparent, guys. I hope I always am. I think one of the reasons I'm pumped to be here is when your investments and your portfolios are doing really well, it just puts a pep in your step, right? Darren's laughing. He's like, yeah, of course you're feeling good. You know, you've been performing well. No, it's fun. Funny enough, too, just between you and I, we've actually had the greatest run. I was just telling Darren this. I've had my greatest two-month return I've ever had, up over 30% in the last 2 months. It's been pretty wild. And if we got clients out there listening to one part of that's the value portfolio. I'm not saying your entire – well, the – our other part of the portfolio has done phenomenal too, but the value thing is just, we're not used to value really driving performance, right? It's been a long time. So, but anyway, it's funny how I kind of went off on a tangent there, because that's going to feed into a lot of what we're talking about today. And I was telling our friends on KTTH, and for the people down there in Portland, our good friends down there, we are a Tacoma, Washington, Seattle based wealth management firm. We have just, you know, if you haven't heard the show before, we've only been on Portland now for about a month. And we are opening an office down there toward the end of the first quarter, and that's where we're expanding to. So, like it or not, you're going to be hearing more of us. So I hope that's not a bad thing. But anyway, we're going to take this opportunity. We had some really interesting, I was telling our friends on KTTH this in the 3 minute warm-up, that we had an interesting thing happen, and it caught a bunch of our own employees off guard this week. We had a stock that was up 110% in the last 2 days, and it is because of something called a short squeeze. And I want to spend time explaining that, because I think it's a really good educational piece. It's also part of value investing. And it's something that is probably going to be happening more, I would guess, in a certain type of stock. And so we're going to get into that. I know the reaction is, wait a second, Zach, I thought you're about a risk management. I thought you're about value. You know, how can that be possible if you buy some stock that's up 110% a day? Only growth stocks do that. No, it's actually not the case. It is still a value stock, and it can be part of the value thesis for a company, believe it or not. So anyway, we're going to go into a segment called The Anatomy of a Short Squeeze. I think that's going to be really valuable. And it's on a name that pretty much everybody knows, a company called GameStop, right? Why would you want to buy a video game company with bricks and mortar? Don't you know it's going to be the Blockbuster of videos? I'll explain to you why, and I'll explain to you how we made so much money on that in 2 days. Even our employees were shocked. Anyway, the other thing I want to talk about, because I think it's going to be a main theme of this year, are rotations, right? I want to talk about, I think you've probably been hearing that term thrown around, of rotations. I want to explain what that is, because the problem is words like rotations, and I worked at a mutual fund company. I've worked at three of the biggest firms on Wall Street, financial advising firms. And I know this to be true. It's investing jargon, right? It's investing vernacular, and that a ton of people in the investment community can't even really explain these things to you. They just know the words because they hear them, right? They're like a parrot, right? Hello. That was a good one, wasn't it, Darren? Did you hear that? That parrot? I'm kind of impressed. I got to try that with my kids. No, but they just parrot each other, right? It's just an echo chamber. And you always hear it's funny. There's always the buzzword, right? Rotation is going to be one of those words. We're going to actually explain what that means, so you know. And then also, again, kind of like the anatomy of a short squeeze segment, why do we need to know about rotations? Is that an opportunity? Do we want to look for them? Do we want to avoid them? We're going to tell you what it is, and we're going to break it down. And then the other thing that we're going to talk about, like I again told the folks on KTTH, because we're new down with the folks in Portland, we're going to take a 5 to 7 minute segment at the end of the show to walk through who we are, why we do what we do, and what makes us different. Because we're going to be a very different wealth advisory firm than who you're typically listening to on the radio. The other thing, if you haven't noticed already, is if there are a lot of other financial advising shows, no knock on any of those guys. They're not like this show, right? they don't do interviews and stuff like that. It's more like an infomercial. We don't, because of our process and who we are, and we'll explain that to you. So anyway, let's get into the market update. You know, you've got a rough day right now. It's nothing crazy. I mean, you know, S&P's down 0.5%. And the reason it's getting hit is kind of different. I was expecting this, but we've been talking about value a lot. We're going to talk about value later in the show, and we talk about rotations and so on and so forth. But you know, when you get something that runs that hot, you're going to get pullbacks like this. And so what you see is the Russell 2000, and exactly what I mean, the Russell 2000, which is going to consist of the 2000 smaller companies, right? All the companies that aren't in the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ. And you have in the Russell 2000, because they're smaller market cap companies, you have a lot more value plays. Why? Because their market caps are small, because nobody wants to own the stock, right? So right now, the Russell 2000, and it's not perfect. Please don't everybody call me and go, that's the Russell 2000 is expensive too. I know. And I'm not saying it's a perfect analog, but Russell 2000, when you see it getting hit and you see the NASDAQ down 0.4%, Russell 2000 down 1%, that is basically a microcosm of the last 10 years, right? What that tells you is a mildly down day for big tech and stuff like that. And yet, you know, the smaller cap, mid cap companies, particularly value, is probably taking a hit. And that, and you know, that's been the microcosm of the last 10 years. And what we've seen over the last 3 months, which is one of the reasons our value portfolio has performed so outstanding, is you are seeing juice flow into value. You still are. You're going to see days like today. I wouldn't be surprised if this persisted for another 5 days. I don't think it will, especially as it relates to small and mid-cap value, because they are still so underowned and they are so inexpensive compared to, you know, the major indexes. And, you know, it's you know, you still have that, you know, by far. I mean, you haven't even dented that record outperformance between growth and value yet. So, but, you know, this is part of it. It's kind of what I've been telling people about energy. I thought energy was a great investment opportunity. The death of oil is, you know, kind of reminds me of Mark Twain, right? The rumors of my demise are greatly exaggerated. I think that's kind of how it is for oil. But like I said from the very beginning, it's going to be a bumpy ride. And part of the reason why is you're being a contrary investor. You know, any weakness of oil, it's going to the oil stocks are going to get pounded. That's part of investing. You've got to be able to stomach some short-term volatility for long-term opportunities. The other thing that you got to keep in mind, and this is almost always the case, it's usually the thing that is the hardest to own that is probably going to be your best investment. Right? It's usually the thing that you kind of want to slap yourself for buying. Right? Because you're just like, oh man, look at all this stuff going up, and I'm buying something that's beaten down, or I'm buying something that nobody wants. Everybody hates this, or everybody hates gold, or everybody, you know, those are usually your best investments. Right? And because at the end of the day, the cheaper you buy it, the more you make, period. Right? Other than that, guys, you still see oil getting hit a little bit today, but still well above $50 a barrel. Oil continues to be really strong. I think the most interesting thing today, and there's another reason why I don't think this will persist. The dollar's getting hit. The dollar's getting a surge today. It popped back above 90 on the DXY. Let's pull that up. Darren, I know you're watching the DXY every second of every trading day, aren't you? It's the dollar index here. And again, please no tweets or emails. I understand that the DXY is basically a proxy for dollar euro. I got it. But It's the one that most people know, and you know, it's kind of like the Dow, right? The Dow is a horrible index as far as knowing how the market's doing. It's 30 stocks, right? The S&P 500 gives you a much better view of the market. That's what you should watch. But everybody looks at the Dow. Same with DXY. Yeah, DXY is flirting with 91. It's really simple. Dollar goes up, everything's going to drop, right? Dollar goes down, this rally continues, and I think the Fed will make sure that that's going to happen. So anyway, that's about it. Nothing really crazy. Don't freak out by what you're seeing today. This market is so overdue for a pullback. It's actually why we went long volatility 2 days ago as sort of a hedge. And that's offset some of the hit we were taking today. But, I think that if you do not have exposure to value, this is probably a great opportunity to do it. Same with energy. And as always, guys, at any moment, if you want to know how we compose our portfolios, how we build our portfolios, how we increase your upside, drastically lower your risk, how over the course of last year, we didn't have a single client that lost at any point in the year that was down more than 8 or 9%. And then we finished the year with great gains. If you want to know how we did that when a market dropped 36%, when investment grade bonds were down 22%, give us a call. There's a better way to do it. We're not bloviating. We've been on the air for 5 years, right? It's real. It's not some kind of infomercial trying to sneak you in here. It's a real process that protects our clients and gives them more upside. So if everything keeps going up, you're better off. Yet, the difference with us is if the music stops, right? If the big hit came, you've got a chair when the music's, you're going to be good either way. And you're going to pay less money the entire time. It makes sense. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Sign up for our virtual roadshow on January 28th. It's 30 minutes long. It's free. I walk you through the bond replacement strategies, the financial planning process, Social Security, how much money you need for retirement. I condense it all down into a 30-minute Zoom. I think it's Zoom. Yeah, Zoom video. And we do a 30-minute Q&A after that, and there you go. And that's going to be at 3 p.m. on January 28th. Go to Bulwark Capital Management website, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com's website, you can sign up for it there online. And like I said, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can sign up that way, or you can just schedule a risk review or meeting with me or one of our advisors. We'll get you squared away. You guys know the drill. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back to talk the anatomy of a short squeeze. You're listening to the Know Your Risk podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, January 28th, right after my show. Zach, I'm excited to be there. Tell us what to expect.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class.
Oh, I love that.
We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, Thursday, January 28th, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve your spot now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Burr Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right. So what gave me the idea for this segment, and just guys, again, full disclosure, obviously we don't do this all the time. I want to get on the radio show, and this is not a program where we sit there and say, we made 110% in 2 days using our fail-free strategy. Call now and we'll tell you how you can be the next. It's not that, okay? These are rare scenarios and they are risky. But you're going to hear, once again, you're going to hear the term short squeeze. You're going to hear stories of that. Okay, this is what this segment is, because I want to walk you through it so you know what's going on. You know why it's happening. And it's a valuable thing to understand. And what gave me the idea for it, again, is we had done, again, being a value investor, okay, there are many stocks because of COVID and because of all of the, internet traffic, right? All the online companies now selling things, Netflix, you know, all these different transactions that can now take place online unfettered, right to the consumer sitting on their couch. It has transformed the economy. It will continue to do so. And traditional bricks and mortar business in most sectors, have a choice to make, right? Survive or die. And it's just the way of life. The world is changing, and there's going to be a lot of losers in that. Okay, but one of the things you look for as a value investor is, and same thinking brought us into energy, right? One of the things you want to look for is when a sector or a type of stock wholesale gets thrown out, right? The baby gets thrown out with the bathwater. And I think that is especially more true today, that happening, than it's ever been. And I think the biggest reason for that is the indexing craze. Meaning when a sector is getting hit, it's going to attract money from people that don't even engage. Or when a sector is going up, right? It's going to attract, attention. It's going to attract eyeballs that it doesn't typically attract, right? Because it's moving. People want to know why, want to know if there's an opportunity, all that kind of stuff. And the easiest way to play those swings and rotations we're going to talk about next segment, is through ETFs, right? And so you've got people buying and selling ETFs. And, you know, a sector gets beat up, for instance, retail during COVID, right? We all know that. There's going to be a lot of businesses that go out of business. And there's going to be some that don't. And there's always a big opportunity as a value investor when an entire sector gets written off wholesale. It's very rare that occurs, right? People talk about the buggy whip manufacturers back in the 20s, right? That is one situation where it didn't matter which buggy whip maker you bought. It didn't end up being a good investment. So, you know, there is a downside. There are things like that. But typically whenever I see a sector get thrown out wholesale, I always stop and take a look, right? My wife gives me a bad time because we've got a saying here at the firm. If something or a sector's down 90%, it doesn't mean we'll buy it, but we're certainly going to stop and take a look. And so what you see sometimes are these sectors getting beaten up, and you start seeing the stocks kind of doing on the value side, the inverse side, what a lot of these growth and tech stocks are doing, which is, you know, they're detached. The valuation that a lot of these things have, Tesla being the prime example, it really has no attachment to the underlying value of the company. Okay. And if you're a Tesla long, again, congratulations. I'm not trying to call the company a fraud. I'm not trying to say you're stupid, but the valuation in Tesla is built on faith. Okay. And it doesn't mean that faith won't come to fruition. I don't think it will, but I've been wrong so far. But it's built on faith, meaning people are justifying paying that price for Tesla for what they think it's going to be doing in 2030, 2040, 2025, et cetera, right? I don't invest that way. I don't invest on faith, mainly because the vast majority of the time, 98, 99% of the time, you're going to get your head crushed, right? You're going to get smacked. And again, if you've been a Tesla long, tip of the cap, I'm not dogging on you. I wish I would have listened to you 3 years ago. Okay. You won. Not trying to take any noise from you. But my point is that the same thing can happen on the other side. You know, you look again, retail was a classic example earlier this year, oil too, right? Where you've got all the reasons in the world and the entire market knows that those stocks are going to be disadvantaged. They're going to get hit. And so what do guys do? Fund managers, they like to be long and short. Okay. So the more certain they feel that an entire sector is going to get hit, they'll short that and they'll go long. They'll buy the sector they think is going to work. And the idea is that if they buy a really good sector that's performing well, that they really believe in and think will work, even if that sector gets hit, ideally, if they've done their job right, it's not going to get hit as hard as the bad sector or the bad stocks they've shorted. So even if the entire market goes down, they still make money because their shorts are going down more than their longs. All right, that's one of the things that drives. So anyway, you get to the point where everybody is shorting that. Maybe it's a direct investment. They think they want to short retail because of COVID. Again, a good call. Retail got blown up. Maybe it's because, you know, there's all kinds of reasons. The point is that all of those stocks get, you know, they get beaten up on. And we saw a stock at the, in the last 2 years in the middle of this called GameStop. You guys all know it, the video game company, right? And it's a business that was shrinking drastically. In my opinion, it had been mismanaged. They had not focused on online sales anywhere close to enough. They really had a niche market. There really wasn't anything comparable to them out there. And you know, again, mismanagement. I'll be the first to say it. But when you looked at the company, you know, it got beaten up so bad that you could buy this company for, you know, $200-$400 million market cap, I think is where it got down to. You know, and they're still doing between $4-5 billion a year in revenue. Again, it's like the inverse of, you know, of these tech growth stocks. And, they had virtually no debt on the balance sheet. They got a little bit now, but it's clean. It's tight. They've got a niche business and the knock against them. What? Bricks and mortar retailer. I get it. But that they were the blockbuster of video games. They're going to go out of business. And that's the way it's been heading. You know, revenues have sharply declined over the last few years. But as value investors, we were looking at the fact that they didn't have a lot of debt, the fact that they still had strong cash flow because they didn't have a lot of overhead costs. They'd been reducing their costs. And we're sitting there looking at the price we could buy the company for, and just on a valuation basis and debt and balance sheet, it just looked really attractive. And the problem is that that didn't matter because it kept getting jumped on like these other retailers. And if you just looked at the balance sheet and the cash flow statement, you realized that they were in no danger of going bankrupt at any time in the near future. Not even during COVID. They had enough cash on hand. I mean, it wasn't going to be a big worry. But like I said, the short interest had grown and grown and grown. And it had gotten to a point where the amount of shares sold short. So if you guys are listening now, and if you don't know what short selling is where you do not own a share of the stock, but you sell a share of the stock. You borrow it from somebody else, probably somebody else in your firm, wherever your money's at. And you essentially borrow the stock from them and you sell it. And what you're hoping is that it goes down, right? So you sell it at 50, the stock drops to 25, okay? It drops to 25 and you cover. Okay, you buy. So we shorted it at 50. It goes all the way down to 25. You get the spread. Why? Because you sold the stock at 50 and you borrowed that stock from somebody. It drops to 25. You go back in the market. You buy the stock back and give it back to the person you borrowed it from, right? But you sold it at 50. You bought it at 25. That's how you make your money. That's a short sale. Now, we got to take a break. We're up against a hard break. I was hoping to get this in this segment, but I really want you guys to understand this concept, anatomy of a short squeeze. So now we know what shorting a stock is, and I'm going to explain to you what a short squeeze is, how it played into GameStop, and the way that you see a trade like that. And guys, if you're listening to this, we're all about risk management, all that stuff that we're constantly pounding on, but we are also in taking advantages of investments like this, stuff that can go up 100% a day. And again, not saying we do that all the time. We don't. But if you want that greater level of knowledge, rather than just saying we're going to throw you into these three mutual funds and it's going to be great, if you're looking for somebody that is looking out for opportunities like this, if you want active management and risk management, call us 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. We're going to drastically lower your cost. We're going to drastically lower your risk, and we're going to increase the upside potential of your portfolio at the same time. Okay, there's no reason not to. Call us, 866-779-RISK. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in this economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow Thursday, January 28th, right after my show. Zach, now's the time for everyone to take a hard look at their investment strategy.
Dory, there could not be a more prescient time. I'll answer all the big questions on investors' minds because I can promise you if you're incorporating some of the long-running investment strategies in today's markets, like a basic 60-40 stock bond portfolio, You're taking a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement.
Learn all about Zach's retirement planning and investment strategies at his Know Your Risk virtual roadshow Thursday, January 28th. I'll be there too, right after my show at 3 o'clock. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Make your reservation now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Burr Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
As you're planning and prioritizing things to accomplish this year, let me suggest something that should be way up on your list. Looking into long-term care coverage. Hey, it's Dory Monson. Like I did, you probably have a lot of questions. Well, a great way to get answers is to join my friends from 525 Advisors for their free long-term care planning live webinar next Friday morning at 9. You will learn so much. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then, when you're ready, 525 Advisors will design your custom plan with you, just as they did for my wife and me. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay us back if we never use it. Having long-term care coverage gives such great peace of mind. I love how much time they spent with us. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors, so make it a priority in 2021. Sign up today for the free live webinar next Friday morning at 9. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right. So I'm going to get right into it so I don't run over this time, but I really wanted to set it up. So in the last segment, I told you that over the last couple years, we had been watching a stock called GameStop. And you guys probably know it, video game company. And the reason it was interesting to us, we knew the business was in trouble the way it was currently structured. And because of that, in our opinion, the stock had been, you know, it'd been shorted, right? And people that were shorting it at $50, $40, $50, a great investment on their part because they're right. They were right. Their thesis was correct. The business model of GameStop, mostly due to the proliferation of you know, online commerce and online gaming and all those different things that we all know about. Well, GameStop did not do a good job pivoting, and those shorts were right. The stock got hit. Revenues have dropped substantially. Profits have dropped substantially. But it doesn't mean that it's not worth anything. It also doesn't mean that it's going bankrupt anytime soon. And that's what was interesting to us about GameStop, is because it's a niche player, right? It's there aren't really any video game, you know, chain stores anymore. You know, it's probably good to have some storefront. You know, bricks and mortar retailing isn't going away. It's going to be reduced, no question, but it's not going away. People are still going to want to go into a store and talk to somebody, or go into a store and look at something, or go into a store and try out a video game console before they buy it, right? And they can do that at Walmart and places like that. But, you know, a lot of people still go to GameStop. A lot of these kids do, right? It's still a thing. The other thing is they haven't done anything wrong. There was nothing, you know, really wrong with the company. Like, there was no fraud. They had almost zero debt. They still had good cash flow. And we'd been watching it. We'd been watching it because it was so cheap. But we didn't buy it at the lows. Actually, we didn't buy it anywhere close to the lows. That stock got down to as low as 250 this last year during the COVID, you know, crush. And the reason we didn't buy it is because I've learned a really hard lesson, which is just because something is cheap does not mean it can't get cheaper. And that you have to avoid something that we call a value trap. A lot of times that stocks that have been beaten up really bad are beaten up for a reason. And it might look really cheap, but if you have a business that is in a terminal decline, you better be really careful by what you think is cheap, because the clock is ticking against you, right? So one of the things that I've learned to do is when I look at a company that's been slaughtered, you know, a stock that, for instance, that's dropped from $60 to $3, one of the things I've learned, if there's legitimate reasons for that drop, like there certainly were at GameStop, one of the things I've learned is no matter how good the valuation looks, You need to wait for a catalyst on a stock like that. You need to wait for something that has the potential of fixing the problems that currently plague the business. You have to get something that gives visibility, some reason that the average investor can believe that their money will grow in this investment, right? And that the company will grow. You got, it has to have a future. Now, by doing that, we know that we will not get the absolute bottom base price on the stock, right? But what we will not have happen to us is something that happened to me in a stock called Tailored Brands. Now, thankfully, I identified the issue with Tailored Brands well before they went bankrupt, but and we were lucky enough overall to get out of the trade with a profit. But at one point on Tailored Brands, we were up as much as 120%. We gave almost all of that back, getting back involved with the stock. And I made the mistake of just looking at the balance sheet and buying it because it was cheap. And it was cheap for a reason. The business was flawed and they went bankrupt during COVID. Okay. So you see things like this happen and you go, okay, I'm going to miss out on the absolute bottom, but it doesn't matter. If it's as cheap as I think it does, this thing's got a lot of room to run. Okay, so that sets up the backdrop. That's what attracted us about GameStop. That's why we didn't buy it at 250. Wish we would have, but I'm glad we didn't because we adhered to the discipline. And yes, we got the win and we could have had a bigger win. But what I am most worried about is regardless of how this played out, we weren't going to take a serious loss. Okay, again, risk management. The wins will come. Just focus on not taking the huge losses. Okay, so one of the other things that, so we were waiting for a catalyst in GameStop. One of the other things that really had us intrigued about GameStop was the short interest, the amount of shares sold short. So the short interest, when you hear somebody talk about short interest in a stock, they're saying, okay, how many shares of that company have been sold short in comparison to the total value of that company? And at the peak, GameStop had about 160% of its float sold short. And I'd never seen a percentage on a company that large before, and I didn't know it was possible. The way you can sell short more than 100% of the shares is because the share, the float is the shares actively trading held by public, you know, regular investors. Then you have other things, you know, you've got, you know, insider positions that have lockups on them. So you got stock that doesn't go into the float per se. Now, remember, the market cap is the total number of shares outstanding together. That tells you the whole shebang. The float is the number trading in the market, right? That's how much of the value of the stock is actually trading in the market. So that's how you can have 167% of the shares sold short. Anyway, what that means is that sentiment on that company is about as bad as it can possibly get. What it means is that massive amounts of people are betting against that company. But here's the interesting thing. And remember, the other part of GameStop is that it's been getting beat up for a while. As a matter of fact, I think prior to the move that happened over the last 2 days, and for those of you just joining us, I'm explaining, we were invested in a company, we invested 2 months ago into a company called GameStop that in the last 2 days has gone up 110%, and it's due to a short squeeze, and we're discussing and discovering what a short squeeze is. So the 167% of the shares were sold short. The stock is massively cheap. Then we got a catalyst, not the one that I was looking for, but the founder and CEO of a company called Chewy.com, an online pet company that sold for $1.5 billion, he stepped in and bought like $80 million worth of GameStop stock. And at that point, that put him like owning something like 10% of the stock or something like that, something crazy, or 20% of the stock, maybe it was even 20%. And the stock got a lift from that because this guy has had incredible success building an online business. What does GameStop need to do? It needs to get online. Right. This guy also has got a ton of capital. He's got buddies with a ton of capital. He's made other people money. All of a sudden, GameStop now has got some pretty credible people and people that can also increase the visibility. That perked our interest, but that wasn't a change in the business. I still wasn't convinced. Okay. Then GameStop signed a deal with Microsoft to be a distributor for Xbox. They're going to partner together to do online game sales, and they're all going to use Surfaces at GameStop, and it's like a partnership deal. Those two things together were the catalyst I was looking for, because I'm sitting there going, okay, you've got leadership and money that's there now. He's going to prompt changes on the board. This guy knows how to do exactly what GameStop needs. On top of that, they just signed a deal with Microsoft. Microsoft must feel comfortable signing a deal with them. They're not going to sign a partnership deal with somebody that's about to go bankrupt. Right. And so we saw our catalyst. So we bought the stock at about $12 a share. And then the other reason, like I said, was the short interest. And the reason why that excited us is because, A, the stock was dirt cheap. We thought it could easily be a $30 to $40 stock. But every short is by definition like margin, okay? And the other thing about GameStop is really the high water mark for its stock over the last 2 years was like $15. So that means that the vast majority of those shorts were sold somewhere south of $15. Okay, so anytime you see that, where a stock's been crushed like that, the short interest has got massively high, and that stock hasn't been above $15, let's say, for 2 year period of time, you know by default that the vast majority of that short position, $15 is the break even, right? As long as the stock is below, if you short a stock at 15, as long as the stock goes below 15, stays below 15, you're profitable. Okay, and you also know that as that stock drives above 15, it's going to start building pressure on short sellers, right? Because as the stock goes higher, they're losing money. And the vast majority of short sellers, right, a short sale by definition is margin, which means, you know, right around a 25% loss, you're looking at margin calls where you got to sell other things in your portfolio and put up collateral, you know, however you settle that out. And the only way you can close out a short position, if you short a stock, the only way you can undo that is by buying a share. So all of those 160%, the people, all of those shorts, that 160% of the float that was sold short, you know that there's a pressure point, you know, and a safe way to look at it is look at that level 15 and think to yourself, okay, 25 to 50% above that, that's going to be a point of pain. That's where shorts are going to get hit, start hitting with margin calls. That's where there's going to be forced covering of that short position. And that covering of that short position is buying the stock, right? So, which does what? Now all those shorts have to buy stock to cover. That pushes the price higher, which, right, the higher the price go, squeezes the existing short sellers even more. Then they have to buy the stock to cover, which squeezes existing short sellers more, and it just turns into this reflective cycle, right? Where the higher it goes, the more short sellers have to cover their shorts. And then the other side is guys like me that know what a short squeeze is. We see this starting to happen. We pile in and start buying more stock too, right? And so really that is what's called a short squeeze. And when that happens, just like with GameStop, especially a company that is that undervalued, you can get those kind of insane moves. So when we put that position on 2 or 3 weeks ago at about $12 a share, maybe it was longer than that. It was like 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago. Anyway, it was like 12, 15 a share or something like that we did it at. And the guys are like, why would you buy GameStop? So I was explaining this to our clients. I said, look, first of all, you've got some real viable ways forward with the business with Microsoft and Ryan Cohen coming on. And that's a real break. That's a change that gives this business potential to grow now. And if that business can stabilize its revenues and we're not worried about it going out of business anymore, it is deeply undervalued, right? If everybody knew GameStop wasn't going out of business and their revenues were going to stabilize and begin growing even by like 2%, you know, the stock would have gone up on that alone, right? But people are pricing it for bankruptcy. And so, I was explaining to the guys, not only do I think it's an attractive investment, but I was like, you got 167% of the shares sold short. And I told them when we bought it, I said, listen, when this thing pops, you could see it up 60, 70, 80, 100% in a day. They're like, no way. And I'm like, oh yeah, I hope it happens. If it doesn't, we'll get out of there. But I was telling them, I want you guys to see a short squeeze. Well, sure enough, the pressure had been building over the last 2 months. Stock had been drifting up. And then sure as heck, we hit this pressure point 2 days ago on Wednesday, where all of a sudden the stock would have been climbing 15%, 20%, 30%, and then boom, exploded up 70% on the day. The stock had been drifting higher because of the good news and was building pressure on those shorts, and they had to start covering. And the reason they got to start covering is being a short seller is infinitely more risky than being long. Right? You can buy a worthless company and still triple your money. Okay. The flip side is you could short that worthless company and lose four times what you invested. The losses, when you buy a stock, the max you can lose is the value of that stock. When you short a stock, you have an infinite downside. If you would have shorted Tesla at $100 a share post split, right? You're down 700%, something like that, right? There's no limit to how much you can lose. And so you know that as it squeezes higher, those guys are afraid of that. And the psychology hits, they're getting margin called, and they've all got to buy it. So you're looking at the short interest. People are scared. They're, oh, look at the short interest. And I go, look, if you've got a stock that's actually valuable and that isn't going away, those shorts are going to be share buyers. So the bigger, when you know you've done your work and you feel like you got a good company, that short interest should attract you because those are people that have to buy your stock. Where I could be running a company out there doing a great job, and for whatever reason, nobody knows about the company, my stock could go nowhere. I've seen it happen a million times, right? Like a tree falling in the forest. If nobody's around to hear it, it doesn't make a noise. And with stock, it's the exact same way, right? But then if I see a company that's got 167% share, I'm not worried about shareholders finding out about this company. I've got a ton of them right there. They're going to be forced buyers. And that is the anatomy of a short squeeze. And those are some of the things that you look for in value investing. And this is why value investing can go through really long periods of not working. And then boom, like our value portfolio is up something like 30% in the last 2 months, up double digits, 12, 13% this year or something like that. And it's because when value starts working, the other thing is the longer that a sector, and we're going to cover this right in the next segment, the longer a sector underperforms like retail and value, the more of this negative energy is built up. So when it comes around, when those stocks come back into favor, you have that much more energy to the upside and you can make big money. I'm talking Tesla money in a short period of time. And guys, another example of the way that we're different. We're actually managing money. We can get stocks that go up 100% in a day. And again, it's not going to be very often, and I'm not promising you that. This was a unique situation. But if you want that ability, if you want somebody that's actually managing your money, if you want a firm that you know is watching over your money and looking out for dangers, but also opportunities like that, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Sign up for the virtual roadshow where we go through all of our portfolios, bond replacement strategy, financial planning, condense it all down into a 30-minute virtual roadshow and with it followed by a 30-minute Q&A. It's free. Sign up at bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. Call for a risk assessment. Spend the 3 minutes it takes to call us and lock in and plan a better financial future for yourself with lower fees, more upside, and way more protection and security. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back to wrap this thing up. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, January 28th, right after my show. Zach, I'm excited to be there. Tell us what to expect.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class.
Now, I love that.
We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, Thursday, January 28th, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve your spot now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Burr Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment investor.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors, and I want to say thank you for tuning in to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. If you're like me, you look forward to this every weekend. I have been working with Zach and his team for several years now because Zach gets it. He puts his clients first. And for me, that's what it's all about. I know retirement planning can seem daunting at times, but my personal experience has taught me having a professional in your corner is essential. And Zach and his team have proven to me and my clients to be a tremendous asset. Not only will he guide you through your options, he will listen to you and make your concerns his top priority. So give Zach and his team a call. You'll be glad you did. And when you're ready, we can show you how to make sure your retirement plans aren't derailed by an extended healthcare event. We have many options to protect your nest egg and your family, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. You can learn more about us and our upcoming events at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us. Okay, so I went over on the anatomy of a short squeeze, but if you can't tell, I get really fired up about it because they don't always work out that way. This was a situation that we've been watching for a very long time, and the stars aligned, and it came together beautifully, just like we laid out. Doesn't always happen, but it's fun. It's exciting, right? Watching a stock double for good reason. And knowing that it was going to happen and taking advantage of it and letting our clients benefit from that, you know, over a 2-day period of time. It's not often. It's not value investing, right? But every once in a while, especially environments like this where you get this whole universe of stocks that's just beaten down. Yes, a lot of them will go out of business, but a lot of them won't. And they get beaten down so bad that it's you know, it's like buying dollars for 10 cents. Right, because you know that they're going to be ongoing entities, or you think you do based on your research, and there's a lot of opportunities, and it's a lot of fun, especially when you see, here's a magic word, especially when you see a rotation taking place. Now, before we get into this, let me just say I have no idea if this rotation will be in place 6 months from now. I think it will, but I don't know. But one of the reasons we have made ridiculous returns over the last two and a half months is because of the rotation that is currently happening. What we have seen in this cycle is you have seen the stocks that have driven this entire cycle, Amazon, Apple, Google, Netflix, you guys know the names. They, for now, 3 to 4 months, they've gone nowhere. Okay? And I'm not saying this is the beginning of their demise. I'm just saying that is unique. I don't think we've ever had a 3 or 4 month period of time where them as a group, or at least one or two of them, was not making new all-time highs. Over the last 10 years, right? So what is really interesting as well is that at the same time this is happening, now remember, my thesis going into the year is that the best of tech is behind it, and it's time for the emergence of value. So we're seeing that taking place now. And again, there's no guarantee it, but the reason it's so intriguing is because value has been beaten down so bad. It's never been beaten down worse. So what does that mean? It means it's under-owned. Right? Why? Because it's like the most toxic thing to own during this entire cycle. So nobody owns it. Those aren't the ETFs they're buying. They're buying the triple Qs, man. They're buying the ARKK, right? The go faster stuff. Because that's what's worked. And the longer you see outperformance like that going on, right? You know that a smaller and smaller and smaller percentage of most investors' portfolios is dedicated to that. They might not have sold any, but if you started off 8 years ago, let's say, with 10% of your portfolio in mid-cap value, and you know the majority of the rest of the portfolio geared toward the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, by default, that 10% originally you planned to have in mid-cap value, it's now probably like 4%. Because that other stuff has so far outperformed it. So if you want to go to rebalance that portfolio now because it's working and you want to have that full exposure to value, you bought that 10% position. Now you got to buy, you know, it's down to 4%. You got to take it back up to 10%. You're going to buy more than you own, right? Just in rebalancing. And where are you most likely going to pull that money from? Probably from the tech stuff that's, you know, done so dang well. And when you see that kind of money in rotation, also narrative, right? You're going to see the most impressive earnings beats year over year, guys, coming from value companies and traditional bricks and mortar companies. Just lock it in. Mark my words. It's been a long time since that happened. You're also going to see a lot of stimulus money catch fire, which is, again, going to benefit more traditional type companies. Lockdowns are going to be done. Huge advantage to more traditional type companies. They can open, right? And the reason these rotations are key is because the most money, is made at the beginning. Now, it's dangerous because it could be a fake breakout, right? Maybe it's a fake rotation. But the most money is made at the beginning because this stuff is so beaten down, which is why we were able to be up like 30% in the last 2.5 months. Something like 12 or 13% so far in 2021. We've had some good picks, but it's a lot of it's mostly just due to this rotation into value. And that's why it's so clear. We've got a momentum portfolio too that's got the algorithm and the protection built into it. But, you know, you get to the end of the cycle, value's a dirty word. That's a really good indicator. It's a really good indicator that you need to increase your exposure. Right? Same like with oil stocks. Now, I'm not saying every time an entire group of stocks gets a bad name, you should go buy it. It can get a lot cheaper, remember? But it should perk your ears up. Because you know every bricks and mortar retailer isn't going out of business. You know the value will come back again. It's, you know, these companies aren't going away, right? You know the rotation's going to come back into it. And just because the discrepancy has been so large, the outperformance has been so historic, that when that rotation starts coming, it's going to be powerful. And guys, you need to have these elements into your, this is why I don't believe in retirement portfolios that are just ETFs and mutual funds. There's too many low risk opportunities like this to take low risk and still get outsized returns, all the while being protected. The other thing is, if you're paying a firm a fee, this is the kind of thinking you should be getting. This is the kind of stuff you should be doing. Right? If you don't have somebody that's managing your account and making sure you're protected during risky times and finding special situations to generate more returns in good times, that's what you're paying a fee for. If you want to know how you can lower your fees, drastically lower your risk, and get way more upside potential in your portfolio, guys, call us. Do yourself a favor. Take the 3 minutes to call us and get a review. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Sign up for the virtual roadshow on January 28th, where in 30 minutes we walk through our entire investment philosophy and our retirement planning process. You guys know the drill. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next week. Got a great interview lined up. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.